You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's Thursday, just around 2 o'clock, so it's time for the Jort Report. Matt Wilhelm, today's Jort Report centers around my good friend, Zach Layton, who wore some male capri pants from Lululemon that I thought were a little bit funny.
And funny.
So we posted those. We'll start with you. We posted it to Twitter. We'll start with you, and we'll go through the responses in today's Jort Report, but I'll start with you. Jorts or male capri pants?
Jorts, 100%.
I would take jorts as well over these male capri pants. I would wear a pair of jorts before I wore these capris.
And you're very much against jorts.
I am. I am very much against jorts. You know, I'm pro jerseys, no shirt, which ranks way above all of these things. Here is what people had to say about it. Smeagol says there's no such thing as, quote, male capri pants. That's pretty well said. All right, here's one. Baba Fun says, shorts are for children in pools. Manpris are the only acceptable alternative to trousers for the civilized male in the summer. So that's 1-1.
How many civilized individuals do you see walking around Northeast Ohio?
Not many. Behind enemy lines, our good friend G.I. George says, men capris are an atrocity. Give me jorts.
There it is.
So that's 2 for the jorts, 1 for the capris. Derek Moses says, oh, man, no question. I'd wear jorts every single day with a jersey, no shirt before capris, bro. Can't do it, won't do it. Mike Singletary voice. So
love
that's
it.
3-1 jorts.
Don't remind me of Mike Singletary's voice, by the way. It makes me want to run for the hills.
Roger the Good says, without question, I didn't even know they made capri pants for men. That's 4 jorts, 1 capri pants. Here we go. Kevin the Beard says, capris are worse. Sadly, my brother wore his JNCO shin-length jorts to my house. I was embarrassed for him. So it's 5-1 right now. Mark Bishop says, man pre-jorts would be the fall of society.
It's a landslide.
Now, Tim the NFL says, those are great. Speaking of the capris, I could wear those to work. 5-2. And then Roger the Goods comes back.
Do you work in a yoga studio?
Roger the Goods comes back with a cartoon that says this. For all you guys wearing skinny jeans and capri pants, you took the phrase getting into her pants completely the wrong way. Which I think that's a mic dropper right there. 6-2. Then Row Through Cleveland, though, another one of our friends on the show, says, jorts still worse. Many soccer players wear those capri pants and have women hanging off of them left and right. Ladies hate jorts. 6-3.
All right.
So 6-3 in favor of jorts over male capri pants.
I've never claimed that ladies like jorts, but it is very clear and evident, at least in this room and so far with the majority, that capris are not acceptable.
No. Now, it is clear also, though, that jorts are kind of coming, they're strong in the athlete community right now. We have Jameis Winston took a picture in jorts, and there's a picture of Carmelo Anthony from @120sports playing golf in jorts, which is such an affront to me, I don't even know what to say.
It is. That's very the equivalent to Jason Gibbs wearing his jorts while he golfs. But that all being said is, as I've claimed from the initial rumblings of the jorts being mentioned on the show, I was upfront about the fact that I owned a pair of jorts. I also happen to be an athlete. So to your point, you were an athlete in your day, but not any further. Never a professional athlete, okay? Not in favor of jorts. It seems also, too, as you said, jorts for professional athletes are picking up steam.
Money Mayweather.
Carmelo
Anthony. Jameis Winston.
Myself.
You. Doesn't make it right, though. We're not going to say that it makes it right. We're not.
Those guys work in jerseys with no shorts.
Yes. But, again, we're not going to say that it makes it right. All right, one man who I have not yet seen wear jorts around the facility, he wears nice athletic shorts when I've seen him in shorts, is the new quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Josh McCown. He addressed the media following today's practice.
What is it like throwing to Gabriel Hawkins Benjamin as opposed to those huge targets you had at other stops?
Yeah, it's different, obviously, for the obvious reasons, but it's good. With these guys, one of the things, you know, sometimes it's a trade-off, and so where you may not get necessarily an in-and-out quickness out of a big guy that you get out of these little guys, there's separation at the top of routes and things like that. So you learn to put the ball on them. You can put the ball, you know, on deep balls. Like you can put it out in front of them and let them just run to it because of their speed. And so so there's usually with those guys, there's give and take. And so you just learn when you play with bigger guys, there's a, you don't want to ever kind of miss them long. You want to put it in their radius and give them a chance because that's part of their gifting is they're big. And with these guys, part of their gifting is getting in and out and separating. And so you want to lead them, put it ahead of them, let them chase balls down. And so it's really just understanding their skill set. And so that's what the spring's been about. And it's been fun. I don't know if I've played with this many of those type of guys that all have that unique kind of skill set and that can do it all. You know, so you get a guy that can get in and out and wiggle a little bit, but he didn't catch the ball well, or you know, you always have these different things. And these guys, man, they can do these things. Gabe, to be as fast as he is, but he's still strong. He can run through things. And so those guys to be able to have what they have and then still catch the ball with good hands is a good thing. And so it's been fun for me to get to work with these guys and get used to them because they with the way that they play, they can make your job easy.
Josh, how encouraging was today? A lot of deep passes completed. Seems like the offense might have won.
I don't know about wins and losses in practice necessarily, but we got good work in, and that's the thing for us is you know, to go out there and to execute the plays that are called and to, you know, have it turn out the way we want it to turn out. And you always don't get the coverage that you want. And especially early in an offense, you know, you're learning it. And this guy might bust a play here and that play. And one thing Coach D. Filippo talked about was eliminating the kind of the one guy, you know, and making sure that everybody's on the same page and that we're executing at a high level. And so we captured that today a little bit. And that's something that we have to build on. It has to be more consistent with who we are. It's not necessarily been the case throughout the spring, but today was a good day for us as far as, you know, probably as most consistent as we've been for a whole practice. So that was good. And we got to build on it, though. You know, this day's gone. Now we got to go do it again tomorrow. And that's the key.
Josh, last week, Wilbur Montgomery was talking about the need to get the ball to the backs more last year. It's basically non-existent. I mean, what are you seeing from those guys in terms of being adding to the passing game?
Yeah, you know, I think there's huge value when you have guys that can catch it out of the backfield and make plays for you. We had that in Chicago with a guy like Matt Forte, where you get him the ball and he's able to influence the game not only on first and second down, but on third down as well out of the backfield. And so we feel like that's part of what we're doing, even in our first and second down passing. It's, you know, we want to get the ball downfield and get it to our, you know, our receivers. But if it's not there, put it in the hands of the backs and let's stay on schedule. Let's get those guys touches because, you know, in theory, they're your best ball carrier. So let's get it in their hands. And so the system has done a good job of including those guys on those downs. And it's something that we'll continue to grow with. Everybody's doing a great job of learning. Duke coming in here as a rookie is really kind of flashing some things and doing some good things. And you just like to see guys play to their skill set. And Sean Drone, the same thing. So these guys, you know, they're going to have an influence out of the backfield and where we can put them. And it's a luxury for us as we build our offense to have guys that are dynamic like that can make plays. And Crow and West, the same thing. You know, everybody can catch the ball. And everybody's skill set's different. And you know, it might not be the prettiest route runner, but if they can catch it, that's all you have to have is somebody that can catch it. Because typically when they're in a check down mode, they're uncovered because, you know, people are downfield. So that's the idea with those guys. And you know, that's we're doing a good job of including those guys and you know, getting them involved.
There was a formation a couple times I saw with Duke Johnson and Crowell for Drone on the same backfield. Is that what you're referring to in that part of the offense?
It could be, and also, you know, we got some guys nicked up at receiver, and so there's you know, we got to kind of include people where we can to kind of help out those guys as well. So, you know, it's a mixture.
Of everybody wanting you to get back to where you were in Chicago 2 years ago and dig out of Tampa Bay last year. Was there a mental barrier you've had to overcome as this spring season has rolled along in terms of getting Tampa out of your system and getting back to where you were with Chicago?
No, it's not hard to get that out of your system. I was ready for this and you know, ready to move on. My main thing was just physically just healing up, but But after that, you know, it's you turn the page and you move on. And even from Chicago, you learn from all these situations, and I certainly have. And that's what you know, no matter how bad it is in anything in life, you can't just go, oh, I just want to forget it. You have to find the things in there that you can learn from. There's certainly things I learned from last year. You know, as well as things went in Chicago, there's things I learned from there. But you look forward, every situation is different. Like we talked about, the receivers are different. You know, it's a little bit different system and things like that. But the main thing is understanding the level that you feel like you can play at and coming in with that kind of focus of this is a standard, this is where we want to be. And that's the thing in 2013, holding on to the things that we did that made us successful and the things that the attention to detail and the way we approached it. And then just to have the coaches out here that are doing it collectively, you know, that are so on the details and the way that they coach us, that it's going to give us a chance to do that. So that's a good thing.
Do you think this is, I know you haven't played it down with these guys yet, but what you know of them on film and stuff, do you think maybe the best offensive line you've played with in your career you've got?
Yeah, I would have to say so. I mean, it's obviously so early, but to have a guy like Joe Thomas, that's, you know, it's very, you know, not very many guys ever, you know, play with somebody that good. So to have a guy like that and Alex and Joel, and then, you know, John Greco's done awesome this spring, and Mitchell Schwartz too. I feel like it's a really, really good group, and yeah, they're just fun to work with. They're fun. I think I said this before, but they're fun from a football perspective and X and O perspective, because there's things that we do and ways that we call things, especially in pass protections. And you know, sometimes when the quarterback's involved, the line just waits for him to call it. And with our guys, there's like a give and take, because they see the big picture too. And they want to get you protected too, and they want to help, you know, put themselves in the best position to get their job done. And so it's fun, the dialogue that we have after plays. Hey, did y'all see this? And it's just impressive, some of the things that, hey, did you see a safety? And these guys are asking me that, and then I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, this, you know, linemen aren't supposed to see that. But these guys are sharp, and so time will tell, but just, you know, from this point, it's been fun, and they've been really, really good, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work with them.
Josh, you've been the number one guy since you got here. How comfortable are you in that role? And then do you feel like after a whole offseason that this is your team, this is your offense?
Yeah, you know what? I don't – this it's our team, and you know, that's the way I just – that's the way I view things. That's how I'm comfortable, is when it's our team and when we're all pulling in it together. As far as being the starter, you know, I said this when I signed. You know, when you're here, when you're on a team, you whatever your capacity is, you serve your team the best way you can. And if all you know, 90 guys now, 53 when we pick the team, if all those guys do that, then you got a chance. And so my opportunity here, you know, as a starter is to serve my team in that capacity. I'm gonna do the best I can, first and foremost, is going out on the field and playing. And then, you know, beyond that, that's my only focus. So the rest of the other stuff, you know, will take care of itself. So it's just focused on playing the best football I can play, because the role that I'm in demands that. You know, when you're in a backup role, when the role is different, your focus day to day is a little different. And so for me right now, my focus is to play, you know, as good as football as I can play each day, and help us grow as an offense. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
How has John DeFilippo changed in the time when you guys were in Oakland? Obviously, he's got a different.
Yeah. I mean, he's just grown so much. You know, he's just, his knowledge of the game, all those things, has grown so much. And so I think that's the biggest thing. All of us, I mean, you just grow up, you mature. And so I think his approach to it, and it's just cool to see the things that he's learned, the different stops he's been at, other things he likes, the things he doesn't like, why. You know, you always, okay, I want to do it this way because in 2009 or 2010 or whatever, we did it this way, and this is why we were successful. So I like those things, and it's just cool to see that, because you could see the whole time he's been preparing himself to be in this chair. And so I think because of that attention to detail, the last, you know, 8-9 years or however long it's been since we worked together, that's going to serve us well moving forward.
Quarterback Josh McCown breaking it down. Again, positive
McCown things. Breaking it down. I like that.
McCown breaking it down. Way down. Positive stuff about this team right now. I'll tell you what. Even Tony Grossi, ESPN Cleveland, said the Browns depart for summer vacation on a positive note, and one of the reasons he noted has been the good play of Josh McCown, clearly distancing himself and looking like the starter for this football team. And I think it's important, and I think it is impressive. You are seeing that it looks different. Does it look yet like you're used to seeing playing with a guy like Phillip Rivers? No. But Phillip Rivers had some darn good people catching the football and was a very established elite quarterback in this NFL. Josh McCown, though, looks significantly better than anything I have seen here with the Cleveland Browns over the last couple of years. And I think he has a very, very good opportunity in this offense because of the way they're going to play defense and run the football to be effective. And the way that this team is going to create mismatches by moving people around, flexing people out, and taking advantage of the speed and quickness that they have. The Browns actually do have some serious speed and quickness now on offense with the addition of Duke Johnson, with the matchups a guy like Malcolm Johnson can get, plus Hawkins and Gabriel.
Yeah, and you look at the quarterbacks of old here, at least as of recent, and it's young quarterbacks. When you talk Brady Quinn, Brandon Whedon, you know, guys that have never proven themselves in the National Football League to deserve a shot and or to talk about like Brian Hoyer or a guy like Seneca Wallace, never having been the guy, but come to a place and are forced to be the guy. So we're asking guys to play roles that they've never played before. Rookies have never started and played football in the National Football League, or guys have been a backup predominantly, like a Kelly Holcomb who jumps up, you know, and eventually gets their shot to be a starter, but proven they're not a starter. And I think, you know, not to knock a guy, but I don't think Brian Hoyer is going to prove that in Houston. It's going to be very similar to what we saw here, but you finally have a guy that you don't stay in the National Football League as a quarterback if you don't know how to play the position. We have a quarterback who has started in the National Football League that has come here via free agency to play a specific role, and he has lived up to every expectation thus far, but we know it's not the real thing yet.
We know it is not the real thing, and certainly we hope to see the real thing and that kind of production out of this team very, very soon on the offensive side of the football. All right, when we come back, we're going to go around the league. We'll also take your phone calls. A lot to digest. You've heard from the head coach. You've heard from Randy Starks. You heard from Josh McCown. What do you guys want to do? What do you want to know about this team coming out of this mini camp? 216-578-0850. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.